What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy happy.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. We have a great one planned for you today, and Nate, my co-host Nate, who I'm about to introduce in a moment, may have some details about a sultry massage, so stick around for that. But I am your host, David Schultz, and as I just mentioned, I am joined by my good pal, buddy, partner in crime, Nate Gorzinski. Nate, how are you, good sir?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm well relaxed. Just got back from a nice vacation.
Yes, you know. That will do it. Because I think everybody needs, the world needs a vacation.
I agree, man. I feel like you need a vacation. If anyone needs a vacation, it's you.
Well, I have one coming up. And right, the anticipation is euphoric, nice. Which I once read an article. That's the big thing, is a lead up to anything is the best part about anything.
That's you probably know what I mean? True. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Once you're there doing something, it's like Christmas, right? You can't wait to get your gifts and tear open the wrap and find out what you got. But once you actually open it, you go, oh, all right. Well, that's it. That's over.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So that's... much for all that. And I actually made a comment to my spouse, my lovely wife, the other day. I said, well, in 2 months, our trip will be over. And she goes, who thinks like that? And I said, only me, dear. Yeah. Only me. So, yes. But I am glad that you are back from the Colorado mountains. We were skiing the slopes. Am I down with the lingo? Am I cool? Am I hip with the kids now? Am I talking right?
I guess so. You just said a fact. That's exactly what happened. I was skiing the slopes. So if that's cool, then God damn it, you're cool.
All right. Facts are good. Yeah. Despite what people say,
yes,
facts are important.
That's right.
Well, other than skiing, what else did you do there? Or did you only ski and that's it?
Well, I was there for 3 weeks. I think I missed maybe 3 days of the whole time on the mountain. Like, there were only 3 days that I didn't go. And one of them was because I had such a nasty fall. I was worried I like injured my neck. And, yeah, I mean, I did injure
there for a second. I thought you were going to say you almost died.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be that dramatic, but it was a pretty ugly fall. But luckily
we got on tape.
I was just going to say, luckily my brother had a GoPro going at the time and we did. So it was fun to watch, but, it's one of those where you can watch it and pause it in midair right as the shit's going bad. And you're just like, ooh, like this is when your leg first like went above your head. And yeah, it was bad.
Do you have any, inspiration to maybe put it to music or make a meme out of it or something and put it on TikTok?
I would love to. My brother was talking about getting some kind of editing software and putting together a bunch of clips or shorter videos, because I want to get the videos sent to me, but they're a little big file-wise, you know, memory-wise. So he was talking about chopping them up, and that would be great. Make a little sizzle reel or a little meme where I'm, it just looks funny. I can become viral. Is that what the kids see, talking about being cool? Am I cool? Am I viral?
I think you're great. Yeah, I think you're totally cool, man. That's why we've been friends for this long.
Nice.
If I did not think you were cool, this would probably not be the case, and you would be like... someone on social media that I'm like, yeah, I knew that guy like 20 years ago, and I never interact with him whatsoever.
Yeah, I remember the name. That's about
it. The name.
I remember he wasn't cool. Yeah.
Do you ever spy on any people from the old days on your Facebook? Since I don't use it, I don't know what's up with all the folks that we used to hang out with. Do you ever look at them and go, ooh, look at that, he's a banker now, or, oh, wow, he married a hottie, or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, that's what it's for, isn't it?
You nasty.
It's for like stalking people. Oh, yeah. There's a kid that was in my class who is now an underwater archaeologist, which I didn't even know was like a real job. I thought it was something in movies, you know, like a Indiana Jones of the Sea type thing. But
I think you might be, finessing that a little bit more than it really is. Because when you say underwater archaeologist to me at first, I think it's some dude who's like pounding Miller Lights on a...
like a crappy pontoon boat who has like a vacuum. He's like, I'm sucking up the sediment to see if I can find any doubloons.
Yeah. He's like, I'm panning for gold. It's just some old dude, like a prospector with a beard. He's like, I'm underwater archaeologist.
Sure, sure you are, buddy. Here's my business card. It's really soggy.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is quite soggy. Well, Nate, you know, you just talked about going viral with your accident, which thankfully you're okay, because that's what makes it funny.
Yeah.
Had you not been all right, it would have been a tragic thing, and I doubt anybody, well, people would still want to see it, but you get my drift. Like, it wouldn't be what it could be. The potential isn't there, but I am now, and this is my terrible lead-in. I'm horrible at this, by the way, but I am fully, well, vaccinated, and I kind of throw a well in there, because now apparently we're going to need boosters and maybe annual COVID shots every year.
Perhaps.
But still, the milestone is not lost on me that finally, after a year or so of this national, global, universal nightmare, I got two shots in my arm.
Excellent. Excellent. I've had a lot more than that throughout my life, but...
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm about to get the vaccine myself. Yeah. I'm about to start getting it this weekend. So, and I get a bunch of shots in my ass, as listeners will know, when I get my monthly Vivitrol shot. But I'm no stranger to those needles.
But, no, for the uninitiated to our humble little program, they're probably like, why did Dave just start laughing?
Well,
go back and make sure you check out our archive and you can hear Nate's stories of his past.
Yeah.
Which happened to involve a lot of, how should we put this, Nate?
Injections.
Okay, that works. That's perfectly fine.
Self-medication.
Self-medication indeed. Yep. Now, Nate, I have to tell you something else. And this also ties back into some of our previous content. Mm-hmm. Now, you recommend a lot of things to me. You do.
That's true.
And
you do the same to me. You do the same to me.
Yeah, not as much, though.
Yeah, probably not. You're probably right.
Not. And to be fair, you're not the only person. A lot of people reach out to me and say, Dave, you got to check this out, whatever. And I try to absorb as much as humanly possible. But, you know, there are times when I just have things to do in life. So there was an episode we did, I want to say not so long ago, but it's probably a while. I have this complete and utter lack of being able to grasp the concept of time. So, but still, you told me to go back and watch a show on HBO called The Leftovers.
Oh my God, my favorite show.
There you go. Yeah. And I have HBO Max now as one of my streaming services. I needed to, I had it for a short bit, but then I got rid of it because they were putting out some really crappy movies. I said, what the hell am I paying for this?
Yeah.
What are they doing to me here? Tom and Jerry, get the fuck out of here.
Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, piece of shit. Out of here. Fucking A. So, but the Godzilla versus Kong came out, and I wanted to see it. Now, this is not the best movie ever made.
Sure.
But it was a fun movie, and I enjoyed it for that alone. Now, if I took the time to think about the film, I would probably tear it to pieces.
Right.
But, wow, it looks cool. Giant gorilla fights lizard. Yay! Anyway, so since I still have HBO Max on my Roku, another name drop there. Hopefully they'll send me some money in the mail. I was going through some old series. I said, hey, I got some time to kill. Oh, wait. Nate kept saying, watch The Leftovers. Give it another shot, man. Go back in. Jump into the pool.
Yeah.
And I did. And I am at the end of season one.
Uh-huh. Oh, you haven't even gotten to the good shit yet then.
Oh, well, hello, mister. Mr. Spoileries. The thing is, though, I remember more as I watched. So I think I saw more than I initially let on when we had discussed The Leftovers previously.
Right.
I was like, okay, I remember this now. Oh, all right. I remember that. But now I'm at the end of season one. Some new things, some newish things are upon me. And I enjoy it. I really like it.
Good.
So now my marathon mission.
Great. Well,
yes.
Like I tell people, look, if you can make it through season one, that's when it gets really good. Like the thing with The Leftovers is a lot of people can't make it through season one because it is very sad and kind of dark. And the tone is, kind of a downer. There's a lot of crying. And there's a lot of, like, people breaking down mentally and, like, coping with this thing. I don't know. Our listeners who haven't watched this probably could give a shit. But the point is, it's a great show, and you're in for a treat if you're already kind of into it, because seasons two and three are some of the best television I think I've ever seen. So for our listeners who haven't seen it, check it out. If you have seen it, watch it again. Justin Theroux is paying me, and Damon Lindelof for paying me to say that.
See I'm that?
Just carrying their flag.
Yep. Backdoor checks everywhere, man.
Yeah, dude.
Even though, you know, it is sad and it is a little bit disturbing. It's excellent. Even the first season, like you said, it is slow. There's some tough stuff to digest there.
Yeah.
But what I found the hardest to swallow, that's a bad term for what I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
But, okay, for anybody who's seen The Leftovers, like Nate, you'll be able to appreciate this, hopefully. Nora has terrible feet. The character Nora. And the character Lori has a very unsightly mole by her armpit.
Oh, my God, Dave. You...
Excuse me? What was that? What did you just say now?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Dave.
That's me?
Yeah. You...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, like, if I see a character who's got, like, this really gnarly mole for the rest of the season, I maybe for the rest of her life, I can't forget about it. Like, if she pops up in a scene, I go, yeah, but she's got that raisin sticking out over there.
But you've got nothing to say about Christopher Eccleston's face. Like, he's got an unsettling face, kind of. Yeah, but he's great.
That's busted.
He's great.
Oh, yeah, no. Listen to all the actors, and even the actors who portray the people I just talked about, their physical shortcomings.
Yeah, Carrie Coon's gorgeous. Nora, I think she's beautiful, but I don't know.
Yeah, except for those feet.
Yeah, I guess the feet. But
yeah,
she does hire prostitutes to shoot her wearing a bulletproof vest.
Dude!
Yeah.
Come on, Mr. Spoilerese is back again in full force.
This show is how old?
A large percentage of our listeners who have not, or like me, are weaning our way back into it, but that did in fact happen. I'm not going to cut it out of the show. Yeah, this is not getting edited out. You know, you're the villain.
That's our listeners had years to watch this, and so did you, but luckily you're past that part. So,
I'm stuck on the feet and the raisins.
Yeah.
That's what I'm focusing on, man.
Two scoops.
Yeah, two scoops.
But, I am very happy you're finally watching that. I've been trying to tell people, like, how, like, the show, man, like I said, it just keeps getting better, too. You'll appreciate the second season. It gets even deeper. That season, the first season of that show, is based off a book. And seasons two and three were actually, like, I guess the book ends where season one ends, but they worked with the author of the book to write the second and third season. So even though they're not based off a book, the second and third season have the blessing and even the intellectual output of the author, as opposed to like Game of Thrones, where when they ran out of books, they were just like, well, fuck it, we can do it without the author. We can keep writing the show, and then they fucked it all up. So, they should have worked with George Martin for the rest of the Game of Thrones series, and maybe that would have, at least salvaged that mess of a show.
You just said the blessing of, and every time I hear that word, blessing, I think of Christmas Vacation, where the guy's like, the blessing.
Yep.
And you know what? This leads me to ask you one more question related to television.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have not watched the Snyder cut of Justice League. This also ties into HBO Max, right? That's another reason why I didn't want it. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, did the world need a 4-hour fucking Justice League movie? It stunk the first time. Like, I don't fucking care, But I've always been interested in mulligans, right? Giving a property another chance, like if they tweak something or if they made a slight adjustment that may have upset fans or me or anybody who's into the product. So if there was one television series that you could say, all right, let's just do a new director's cut. Let's completely refresh it, or let's just change the end of it, or maybe, yet again, shake it up a little bit here. What would that be?
series or show or movie or anything?
Is that, you know what? Yeah, whatever's easiest for you to think of first.
Well, what's easiest is Game of Thrones, because I just talked about it. My holy shit. Like, that alone, like, could have been solved with
all
that.
Right.
But if you want to know a movie, I've got a good one. I think a movie that could use a retooling would be Event Horizon, with Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill, science fiction horror movie from back in, you know, the late 90s. I think 97 it came out or something. But
what about it irked you that you think needs to be fixed?
Well, it was a very creepy, had a good feel to it. It was kind of a psychological horror as opposed to like an alien monster horror. It was almost like a haunted house movie in a spaceship, where people's minds were going. Like, the ship was almost making people hallucinate. So it was this very almost Shining in space. I think they could have done a better ending of Event Horizon. Again, viewers of that movie will know what I'm talking about, but I don't know.
Well, here's a follow-up, okay? Because you mentioned, okay, Event Horizon is old. Game of Thrones is still in the public consciousness. Sure. I know they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. Now, they're also working on prequels.
Yeah.
But let's say they pulled what HBO did with Zack Snyder and the Justice League, and they said, hey, guess what? We are redoing the final season. Are you all in on that? Would you tune in every Friday night or whatever the case may be and watch it? Would you consume that and eagerly anticipate something like that? Or would you say, hey, I'm old school. Okay. When it's done, it's done. You did what you did. Now own it. Don't come at me with this fan service of a new ending just because people on the internet were up in arms, myself included.
I feel like, first of all, I think they'd have to go further back than just the final season to fix that show. But second of all, I think that I would like to see, I feel like they sullied what the first few seasons with the end. So I would like to see it. I personally watched the Snyder Cut and I expected to hate it. I don't know why I committed to sitting there for 4 hours when I thought I was just going to hate it, but I gave it a shot, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think it was the first of the Snyder movies that I kind of enjoyed, you know. Man of Steel wasn't that bad, but the that Dawn of Justice, Superman, Batman, whatever, was horrible. And Justice League with Joss Whedon directing was horrible, or, you know, the original theatrical cut there was horrible. So the Snyder Cut, actually, I was entertained through pretty much the whole thing. I mean, it's kind of broken up into chunks where there's like little subtitle, you know, like part two now. Like, it's so you can actually stop it and watch it episodically, kind of, if you want. It has little headings and little chapters, if you will. And so you can kind of do that. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent.
No, that's so cool, man. I just think the DC movies are so fucked. I just couldn't. And plus the whole campaign for it. I don't like this thing. Everybody creates this mass hashtag, restore the Snyder Cut. I forget what the fuck it was. I don't even
like
care.
A campaign of it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the campaign. It's just like, come on, guys. We got better things to do with our day. I understand it's been a pandemic and people want to be entertained and they got maybe, I don't know, people spend money on stupid things too. I mean, I just recently saw a graded VHS tape going for like thousands of dollars from Mario Brothers.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, who spends money on this? Oh, well, you know, thanks for the stimulus check. I'm going to blow it on a fucking graded VHS tape. So, you know, I don't know. Like, for one side, I say, don't waste your time. Don't waste your breath, your money. And then the same token, I go, well, I guess what else can people fucking do besides, I don't know, try to be a productive member of society, huh, folks? Huh? Want to try that one at least once in your fucking useless lives, huh? We have reached the point in the program where I like to thank the partners of the show. First up, we have AlpineHemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. That's right, and it's not too late to hop on that train. And now they have a new product that is quite amazing. I have tried it personally, called Delta 8. Nate, have you heard about Delta 8?
I have. It sounds fascinating.
It's very potent, but they have amazing prices on a variety of CBD products. Make sure you check them out. Yet again, that's alpinehemp.com, northlandvapor.com. Only place I get my vape supplies at. Their e-juices are Diketone and artificial sweetener free. Why is this important, you may be asking yourself? Well, here is the answer. Because you were probably a slave to big tobacco for a really, really long time, and you were just ingesting every little bit of poison they were happily putting into their products. Well, no, 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 no. That ends here. NorthlandVapor.com, the best place to get smoking cessation products. Now, both Alpine Hemp and Northland Vapor, you can use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 for 19% off your entire order. This is a really good deal. Make sure you go check them out. And last but not least, Nate, Spunk Lube. Oh my God, what have I not said about Spunk Lube and how much I love it in all these years? I mean, come on, I've said crazy things, normal things. I've tried to sell you on Spunk Lube like an insane person ranting outside of a place with a picket sign, but I'm not going to do that anymore. Nate, what should I say about Spunk Lube?
They're great, and they'll make you nice and slippery for when you want to have slappy boom boom time.
Wow, Nate, that was wonderful.
That was pithy.
I think from now on, you should do live reads. That was poetry.
Right on.
It was a beautiful thing. So, what are you waiting for? Go to spunklube.com today, and you can thank us later. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so I want to tell a story, but I want to preface this with a little, I don't know, preface, I guess?
I don't know. Okay.
So recently in the news, there was an event that happened where a psycho piece of shit was targeting Asian massage parlors and, like hate crime shit. And
yeah,
and I just wanted to let our listeners know that, and you, I guess, that this story in no way is meant to disrespect anyone. It's not meant to be racist. It's not meant to, you know, it's not meant to have anything to do with that. And it's just a sad fact that it happened around this time, because the story I felt was interesting enough, or at least amusing enough, where, you know, it would be a shame for me not to tell it, because it was just an interesting thing that happened. And so with that being said, I just want to say, yeah, before this nutbag did this shit, my girlfriend Carly and I went and got a massage, and you know, it happened to be at a place where the employees were Asian. It was one of those places like in a mall. And, you know, again, there's nothing, I'm not saying anything about the fact that they're Asian. It was just the cultural differences and the language barrier kind of made it somewhat interesting. And again, not trying to be disrespectful. And, you know, so.
But you have a story to tell.
I do have a story to tell.
Hear it.
Okay. So, yeah, so we go to this place, and of course there was, you know, a little bit of the language barrier in trying to like assess what we wanted exactly. And, because the place looked full and it looked like they had plenty of employees already working, like they have a few booths in the back with curtains drawn. We could tell there were people in them. So we're trying to say, you know, do we have to wait, or do you have more rooms somewhere? And he's, you know, so there's some confusion, but it turned out what we ended up doing, the guy that is trying to lead us in the back, they pulled a couple cots that they had spare, like nice, you know, they were fine cots, but they wheeled them through their like employee break room where mm-hmm. there was another booth in the back. First of all, that was a little weird. We were a little, you know.
Wait, Nate, let me interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
So you were already lying on the cot?
No. I'm sorry. These cots were like set up in a different area, and they wheeled them to the back, and we followed them where they were wheeling these cots. And
I thought you were like laying down, and they wheel you.
Yeah,
someone eating like a bag of Fritos on their break.
It's like a Jacob's Ladder scene. We're being wheeled down.
Exactly.
All right. But no, we followed them into this back room where they had wheeled these cots. And my girlfriend's cot gets pulled into this strange curtained massage room off the break room, like through the employees area, which I already thought was a little suspect. You know what I mean? I was like,
yeah,
strange to have that, you know, but, and we weren't even charged extra for that room. So, they were losing money apparently. But anyway, the second cot, which was mine, apparently they just set it up right in the middle of that employees only break room. Basically, it was not very clinical. It was not very, I don't want to say clinical. It was not very therapeutic. Like, it wasn't like I'm in some room with candles and scented this and music playing. It was like there's a fridge over there and the employees' coats are hanging up. And but I'm like, you know what? Whatever. My face is going to be down on the cot and I got to, and I have to wear a mask, mind you. I'm wondering how this whole thing's going to work, like social distancing, pandemic, like massage. I figured I'm wearing a mask and I'm facing down for the most part. I should be safe. But how is it going to seem? Like, how is it going to, I mean, how are they going to do it? And, basically they started, I lay down on this cot and it's the first unpleasant thing is that little hole where your face goes, like, I don't know if it's the shape of my head or what it is, but like my jaw was like uncomfortably like jacked back the whole time. Like this weird, it was really uncomfortable. Like I just felt like my face was being pushed into it anytime he's like massaging my neck. He starts the whole massage by, you know, telling me, get undressed, lay down, put this towel over you. So I put it over my waist like a normal massage, you know. I've had massages before. You just put it over your waist. And yeah. I've seen porn, massage porn, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So, he comes back in the room and they're like, oh, no. And they lay the towel, this giant towel, like over my whole back, like a blanket. And he starts massaging me through this towel. And I'm thinking, is this how massages are in the pandemic world? Do they do it through like a cloth, like a sheet, like Mormons fucking or whatever?
Basically, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But so I'm wondering how we paid for an hour and a half. So part of me's like, well, maybe, you know, just be patient. This is just part of the massage. And maybe if he doesn't move on to something else in a little while, you can start to question it. But you got an hour and a half. Just be patient. Maybe this is a part of the thing. But so, again, my face is down. All I can do is hear. And I'm getting this massage on my back and kind of not really impressed. And I just hear this little voice in my ear go, good. and I'm like, oh, yeah. But it caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it, you know? And I didn't know he was going to be asking for re-encouragement, you know, reinforcement, positive reinforcement.
Right.
So, you know, I just wanted to relax. My mind wasn't even in. I don't know. But so eventually.
I'm just thinking, like, this whole social distancing thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's massaging you through the towel.
Yeah.
Yet he probably leans in.
Yeah, with its breath.
To your ear.
Yeah.
You go, good.
Yeah. Well, I knew it wasn't for social distancing after a while because occasionally he would, like, you know, move down to my shoulder or my arm, which wasn't under the towel, and do it without a towel. So I'm like, okay, you know, he's willing to go raw dog on my arms. So,
yeah,
you know, and, no, after a while he did, you know, I was patient. He did pull down the towel, reveal my naked torso and add oil and, you know, while I'm turning myself on.
At this point, did Tina walk in to nuke last night's leftovers? Well, break room?
It's funny you say that, man, because, yeah, like, I'm like, I would hear occasionally people walk through and yeah, I swear to God, I heard the microwave door at one point. I heard, you know, people come through and ask questions, whispering. It was always in, like, Vietnamese or whatever language they were speaking. I'm not sure. But I didn't understand what they were saying. And, it was just every so often. Yeah. The guy would just like hit me with a good. And like, it would always come from like a different angle. So it'd freak me out. And like, it would be like, oh shit, now he's on my left saying it. And, you know, I couldn't fully relax because the whole time I'm like, when is this dude going to sneak up and whisper in my ear again and freak me the fuck out? And,
he's underneath the table face to face. Good.
Yeah. But dude, honest to God, like, in the first place, because they were so full when we got there of, you know, they had so much capacity, you know, so many customers, they didn't even, the owner that we were negotiating with initially had to like call this dude from a couple stores down. Like, yeah, I don't know if this guy was on break. He was probably just somebody on break. And he was like, you know, hey, we got a customer, but for all I know, he could have been like, the guy's cousin that worked at Cinnabon down the mall, you know, I don't know. Cause to be honest, just to kind of finish this up, the guy wasn't, you know, he wasn't great. He was, I was a little unimpressed overall. I actually feel like some parts of me are almost worse off than they were when I started. And yeah, I mean, I still felt obligated to, you know, tip the guy because I'm one of these, I don't know, I'm one of these saps that's just like socially feels obligated to be, even though I'm the customer paying, there's a part of me that's like, you know, oh, I don't want him to be upset that he's not getting a tip instead of, I, you know, he should be trying to make sure. Well, to be fair, he was asking if he was good over and over again. I should have said no, you know, really. But,
oh my God.
You know, it was adequate. If he had said adequate every so often, I would have been like, yeah, you know, I guess. But, good was pushing it a little.
But, so-so?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is a so-so massage. And you know, you never asked to see any like licensing or certification. So you're right. You could have just been working down at like, I don't know, Auntie Annie's or something.
Yeah.
Twisted Pretzels.
Right, man.
Was strolling up to, you know, work his wares on your muscles.
Right, dude. I mean, it was relaxing overall, I will say. But I mean, dude, the whole thing is it
doesn't sound it. Well, my God.
I mean, overall, I'm saying it was an hour and a half. You know, there was definitely moments of tension that, you have fear. Like somebody sneaking up on me, but it's relaxing anytime you just kind of like lay down and, you know, you're being pampered, if you will. And of course it's always relaxing to have, you know, a young Asian boy's hands all over you, you know?
Yeah, totally. Especially when someone's 5 feet away from you eating their sandwich. You know, yeah, totally. Like, dude, like for real, there's no way in hell. And I'm one of those people too, to a point where I just kind of like say, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Just so it doesn't make like the situation any worse and more uncomfortable.
Right.
But this sounds like a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah.
It really does, dude. Like, I mean, did your girlfriend have a better experience? Did she actually get a legit room or was she like in the back by the dumpsters? What's happening here?
Well, to be fair, I didn't see inside that little sex dungeon they wheeled her into, that little office, off the office room there. But she seemed happy. And the point of the massage was I had actually gotten her the massage as a gift for Valentine's Day. And then I just got myself one to go along with her. But so it was basically her day, you know, and she did enjoy herself. And that was kind of the point of it. But yeah, you know, I mean, I had a weird interaction and got a strange story out of it. So it is what it is.
You suffered. Yeah. You suffered as someone microwaved popcorn 4 feet from your head.
Oh, man.
You good?
Yeah,
I'm good. Can I have some butter with that?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's like one of those things, too, where it's you almost, like, afterwards, did you ever think about leaving a review?
I haven't, now that you mentioned
online
it.
And just being like, hey, I was super uncomfortable. The fact that they couldn't, I mean, you bought this as a gift, right?
Right.
So you want it to be special. Like you said, if your girlfriend actually had a good experience, that's great. But it's almost like if you guys are overbooked, you could have told me to come back.
That's true.
Or, you know, wait or whatever the case may be here rather than wheel me into the break room. Or actually, no, we just established you weren't wheeled. You willingly walked and then laid down.
I was lured.
This robe.
Lured to the break room.
You were lured, took off your clothes in the break room, which, I mean, I would think that's breaking a code.
Yeah, I would think so.
Here or there, you know what I mean? But whatever, it's just that whole good thing would just freak me the fuck out.
Yeah, it was strange. I'm just, I'm not the type to leave bad reviews usually, but, and like I said, the whole point of the thing was for Carly. But yeah, you're right, man. I would have much rather had not been like looking down at the floor of like ketchup stains or whatever the fuck was on the floor. It was like, it would have been nice to have like a sandalwood candle going in the background or something instead of like reheated fish in the microwave.
A little Enya.
Yeah.
Something. Come on, man. Holy mackerel. Wow. I just can't get over it because, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know what? You're a lover.
Yeah.
And you did something special for somebody else because you love them.
That's right.
All in all, it was a success.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's notes.
When I was a kid in the late 80s, early 90s, My family had a trailer at a campground in Rhode Island. During the hotter months, we would go there on weekends and occasionally spend a week's vacation there. It was a scenic spot and really close to the ocean, specifically Musquamaket Beach, where we would spend most days before retiring back to the campground for whatever campfires and games of hide-and-seek or tag awaited us. My brother and I would sometimes take friends with us for the weekend, and there were kids at the campground to play with us as well. It was all pretty idyllic. One thing that stands out in all my memories of those regular trips is the constant soundtrack of local Rhode Island radio station WRX. This was a classic rock station my father had found, and when in Rhode Island, the dial was firmly planted at 103.7. Classic rock at the time referred to late 60s and mostly 70s bands, everything from Cream, The Zombies, and Jefferson Airplane to Bowie and T-Rex. In retrospect, it tints all my memories of that time in a weird, cinematic, almost sepia tone, like I'm watching an old episode of The Wonder Years. Although it wasn't technically the contemporary music of my youth, it was ubiquitous enough to still be a huge part of my childhood soundtrack. But at the time, I was a bratty kid, and my brother and I were into more modern stuff. Information Society, Def Leppard, Faith No More, Queensryche, Nirvana. To us, WRX was a necessary annoyance, our parents' music, and they had control of the dial in the car and on the beach. Again, I love most of that music now, but as a kid, it all seemed like a relic from a time long ago. Some lame old people stuff. Completely missing the fact that, A, this was music largely written by talented, forward-thinking, drugged-up, and decidedly unlame folks. And B, it wasn't exactly ancient. Some of those songs were like 10, 15 years old at most. But to a kid who's only like 10 or 12, that's pretty damn old. As I've gotten older, I've seen trends in music come and go. Synth pop and hair metal became grunge and alternative, became new metal and skate punk, became emo and mumble rap. Time continues its forward march. We get older, and units of time's measurement seem shorter. A year seems a lot longer when you've only lived through a handful of them. So now that I'm in my 40s and I hear Pearl Jam and Guns N' Roses on classic rock stations, it feels strange, but I realize that those acts are older now than a lot of the bands that were on WRX were when I was a kid. Shit, the Foo Fighters could be considered a classic rock band now, and to me, they're still the drummer from Nirvana's new band. I remember when punk rock was this scary thing my friend's mom used to listen to. She would have Sex Pistols and Exploited records and posters of Sid Vicious, all bloody and intimidating. It kind of scared me as a 7 or 8 year old kid. And it certainly was more of a fringe thing, despite having its time as a fashion movement in the early 80s. And sure, the Exploited still sounds a bit rough for classic rock stations, but the Clash, the Ramones, and even the Pistols have been safe enough to play on mainstream radio for years, decades even. And these bands, as well as the more chaotic hardcore bands that followed, Black Flag, Minor Threat, Circle Jerks, etc., have gone from snotty, misanthropic youth figures to elder statesman status, venerable pioneers even. I see the same thing with early electronic or industrial rock artists, from Gary Numan to Skinny Puppy, even Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, all largely misunderstood, borderline frightening artists in their beginnings, and now a bunch of respected father figures, having birthed multiple genres and inspired countless younger bands. And now you hear industrial and post-punk acts from the 70s and 80s on classic rock stations, or retro shows at least, even stuff from the 90s. There's of course some weird cognitive dissonance going on when these outrageous, dangerous bands I used to listen to have become safer, or at least, quote, old school, the passage of time can sting a little. But I remember being a teenager listening to Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden and thinking, I wonder if these bands will someday get the respect that my parents' generation's bands got. The Doors and the Stones, the Beatles and Led Zeppelin, Sabbath and Creedence Clearwater Revival, all huge names that stand out clearly in musical history. I wondered if, and hoped that in time, my favorite bands would be recognized in a similar way. So, the first time I heard STP on a classic rock station, it was bittersweet, I guess. Anyway, time continues forward. I continue to get older and lamer. I still seek out new bands and am constantly amazed by how much talent and innovation these youngsters have, if they would only get off my lawn. No, but seriously, the internet helps me find more great music than I know what to do with. And it makes it easier for us to discover all the great material that came out eons before. Ancient stuff. You know, like from the early 2000s even. Now, if you'll excuse me, it's time for my diaper change and afternoon nap.
I am so with this. It is unbelievable. Because I had put on a classic rock station not so long ago, and they were playing Soundgarden.
Yeah.
And I immediately felt like my bones had turned to goo, and my skin was nothing more than putty. Am I dead? What's going on here? This is now deemed classic rock? Good God, man.
Yeah, man. But like I said, I mean, it's good to know that Soundgarden has that kind of staying power. Like, there's a lot of shitty bands, like, that you may not hear, you know, except on a one-hit wonders show, like a Ugly Kid Joe song or some stupid shit like that. You know what I mean? But Soundgarden, right, yeah. People, you know, that's a big respected band. A lot of those acts from that Seattle time, because even a lot of the 80s stuff we grew up with really doesn't, you might hear Here I Go Again on My Own by Whitesnake or something, but you don't hear a lot of Warrant or Winger on the radio. That stuff hasn't really stood the test of time. But we've got the Seattle sound, like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and yeah, all the bands that came, you know, the ones that mattered have stuck around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're also talking major radio stations that you hear while you're driving around in the car. I'm sure there must be satellite radio stations that are like all Winger all the time.
Yeah,
of course. Like Striper? Guess what? You can get Striper 24 hours a day.
That's true.
Or whatever the case may be here, you know, but I know exactly where you're getting to, where we're in. These songs were hits back then, and now they still have that total nostalgic vibe for people.
Right.
That it's just weird to know it's nostalgic. That it's actually, because there's so many times, as you said too, where you think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or, you know, almost 10 minutes ago. I cannot believe it's been 20 years or 25 years. It's just so weird. The same thing applies to me too with movies.
Of course.
Where I'll see on social media, someone may say, hey, I'm watching Forrest Gump for the first time, and it's some young person. I go, well, geez, what the hell's the matter with you that you'd actually have a reaction video of watching Forrest Gump? And then it dawns on me, holy cow,
Yeah. It's
old.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Weird.
Yeah. Never mind looking back at some movies you don't think are that old, and then you rewatch them and you're like, holy shit, what are they wearing? You know what I mean? Then you realize how old it is sometimes. Like, you're like, wow.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I was out of curiosity.
Yeah.
I Googled what movie was number one at the box office when I was born.
Mm.
It was Jaws 2. Hmm. Now, I think it's a very good sequel. A lot of people hate sequels. I guess that's not the point right now. But
Jaws 2 was an okay sequel, though. That was one of the few.
I think it was very good. But, I mean, still, I don't even consider that old.
Yeah.
And it was 43 years ago. I don't think, oh, Jaws 2 is like this ancient movie.
Right.
But it is.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That, you know, and then the stuff that came out when we were teenagers is just like wild, man. The other day, we were texting, and you made a reference to a movie we used to make fun of a lot when we were teenagers.
Right.
And it actually took me a second to realize what the movie was.
Wow. Yep.
And then I go, holy cow, it's been that long.
Yeah.
That I nearly forgot that we would get so many giggles and laughs out of mocking
Sean Connery.
And maybe we should reveal a little bit what this film is.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was Medicine Man.
Yep.
By Sean Connery, and you'd hit me with a couple classic lines from that film.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do so now for our audience, Nate. Please do your best impersonation of the great Sir Sean Connery. I'm assuming he's knighted. If not,
I believe he just passed away. So.
Knighthood.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So he's knighted.
He was knighted.
He was knighted, and now he's knighted in the pearly gates of whatever the fuck happens when you die. So without further ado, Nate, hit us with some Sean.
You found a cure for the plague of the 20th century and you've lost it. Haven't you ever lost anything before, Doctor? Car keys? Cigarette lighter?
See, I would have went, cigarette lighter. Yeah, the sh, a little sound to it. But I mean, still, Medicine Man, I know we're laughing at this. Maybe no one else is. Like, yeah. You guys are fucking idiots, which probably is the case half the time or most of the time that we release our shows.
Yeah.
But, I'm like, Medicine Man, geez, is that really that old too? Like, holy cow. I just...
Yeah, that movie's crazy old. And applicable. I mean, it's not like quite like the situation now with the pandemic. Look at that. We're talking about the pandemic again somehow, roundabout.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, just, to get to your point, yeah, it's an old-ass movie, dude. Outbreak is an old-ass movie, and I think Outbreak came out after Medicine Man. Speaking of pandemic movies, I guess that's the only thing they have in common.
Mm. You know,
the Mataba.
I don't know.
The Mataba
makes
virus.
You wonder what's the fucking point? All these movies got made. I mean, if you went on the street and you asked people, like, "Hey, do you remember Medicine Man by Sean Connery or with starring Sean Connery?" Not by solely, but you get my drift. People are gonna be like, you know, no, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Of course.
And all the money, all the effort that went into making this film,
oh, yeah,
is now lost. It's not considered a classic or worthy of anybody's time. It's not getting a reissue. It's not a steelbook. It's not 4K Ultra HD. No one gives a fuck.
It's not Criterion Collection.
Exactly.
Actually,
no one cares. Yeah. No one cares. But there was so much, again, people involved, time invested, everything else. Stoner kids back in the 90s, like me and you, just making the fact fun of the fact that he fucking says this shit in the movie.
Yeah.
And now it's lost in the history of time.
Yeah.
It's wild, you know?
Well, hopefully there will be... somewhere in the world, another group of kids off their minds on acid or whatever that have seen that movie and just quote it to each other to endless giggles and whatnot. Hopefully that's happening
soon. We will live forever.
That's right.
Right? We'll be fucking the spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi or something appearing in robes.
Yeah.
Just being like, ha 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 ha.
Yep.
They're keeping it alive, Nate. You see, that will never disappear. No.
That's right.
We'll forever live in the ether.
We'll be there with Sean Connery and Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. And they'll be like, who the fuck are you guys?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Dave. That's Nate. We all, it's a Selling Out show.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. And they're going to go, who?
Yeah.
You go, us. And you go, what? And we go, exactly. Yeah.
Well, guess what? There's some kids on acid talking about us, too. So fuck you.
Yeah,
we're all here.
Yeah. So let's just enjoy it. Why don't we all go fucking sit in the break room where this guy's getting a massage right now and and laugh about it. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sound good? All right. Great. Good one, Sean. Good one, Anakin.
Anakin.
I think his real name, the guy who played Anakin, was it Hayden or something?
Yeah, well, the young Anakin. See, that's another thing, bro. But anyway, go on. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I was
Hayden.
Just rambling.
Hayden Christensen. But yeah, but man, that's an old-ass movie. Think about it. The first movies are like our age, you know. They're late 70s, early 80s. But then the prequels are now old. That's getting to our point. The prequels, which to me are still the shitty newer Star Wars, even though there's even newer, shittier Star Wars movies now, but they're, to me, it's like the prequels weren't that old, but they are. They're fucking 20 years old. They're, you know, they're fucking old.
So. Yeah, it happens, right? This is what happens. We're young and people talk, older folks talk to us and said, oh, you know, it's going to go by in a flash. You're going to blink. It's going to be over. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Fuck you, old man.
Yeah.
You dumb shit. Like, you don't know nothing. I don't fucking...
Yeah.
I'm not following your path.
Right.
I'm not treading where you walked, motherfucker. And now here we are doing the same shit.
Well, what they don't tell you is it's like a roller coaster. It's a slow climb upward, but at some point you hit that peak and it just starts going zoom, 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 and goes fast. That's,
holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just, oh my God.
The older you get, the faster it goes.
Here's a question I want to ask you based on your piece here.
Mm-hmm.
What song, if you were to hear it on classic radio would make you just want to suck on some steel and just say, this is it. This is over. I'm fucking blowing my brain.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like a song from our youth that if it was like,
or
oh, this
any,
isn't...
Or anything where you just like, I mean, I was thinking like, imagine like, for example, Britney Spears, right? Hit Me Baby One More Time was a, I thought it was a fad.
Yeah.
But I mean, now, I mean, essentially people would consider that a classic song. It's over a certain amount of time, right?
Sure.
So if it's older than 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
but it could technically be played and viewed as a classic.
Mm-hmm.
What song would you think if you heard it on a classic rock station while you're driving around, zipping around, doing whatever, road tripping, having a good old time, eating some beef jerky?
Uh-huh.
Once you heard it, you go, fuck this. I'm driving off the goddamn road.
Barbie Girl? I'm a Barbie Girl. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I don't know. I was actually looking for something more of a personal touch.
Do you mean something that would frustrate me because it's like, oh, shit, that's being considered old and lame? Or do you mean it would make me upset because it's being considered a classic? You know what I mean?
It's because now it's considered that it's hit that, like, that certain...
Why don't you do this? Why don't you give me an example of what would do it for you so I can see what you're getting at?
Okay. All right. Something that, like, to me, because...
Let me find out. You don't even have one thought up and you're asking me.
I know. That's how I roll. Okay. That's what I do. I host this show. I just fucking, I spitball, bro.
Okay.
But I mean, like, you know the artists I love.
Yeah, of course.
That I have a special place, a little room in my heart where they can reside.
Yeah.
I think, personally, if I heard, for example, I think King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime by Faith No More is one of the greatest records ever produced.
Great record.
If I heard like Ricochet, one of the awesome songs off that record, and it was playing on classic rock, I would probably be a little bit slighted and feel a little bit hurt because I identify that album and those tracks so much with just being footloose and fancy free in my youth. I could never fathom it being something that anyone else would consider, okay, you are now officially in that file of being old fogey.
Well, see, this is the controversy of what I was talking about, is that there's part of it that it's like, oh, well, this is considered a classic now. Like, there's respect given to it. And I know what you're saying, like, widespread, like, acceptance is lame and kind of like, oh, this is an old fogey song. But my point was less about, you know, being depressed that our songs are, there is that pang, like I said, of hearing our music on that. But it was also, now I accept that the old songs I thought were lame when I was a kid are cool, you know, like it's, there's a reason for some of it, I guess, but I don't want to hear, I know what you're saying. I don't want to hear, I was going to say, I don't want to hear Nine Inch Nails at the grocery store in the background, but I probably have at this point. You know, they'll be hearing, I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal at Closer by Nine Inch Nails in a dentist's office or something. You know, it's I could hear that happening, but I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could look at this, Dave. I would want to put a gun in my mouth if I heard Barbie Girl being venerated as a classic, is why I said that.
I get you. Yeah. I understand now. I totally get it. Like, if something that was, just fluff, useless shit, and it's like, this is now deemed worthy.
Right.
A contemporary classic wherein someone sat there, or the Illuminati, and said, this has survived. This has made it. And, the example of Barbie Girl would be one of them. Like, what the fuck? Like, for real? Yeah. Someone actually wants to hear this so many years later?
Right. Exactly.
You know, so I understand where you're coming from. You set me straight.
But listen, I understand where you're coming from, too. Look at that. We're both growing, Dave. This is what it's all about.
Well, my whole initial thing with Soundgarden, it was Black Hole Sun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe, and that's why I felt slighted and confused and disoriented, and I needed to sit down.
Sure.
And have a glass of Ovaltine.
Yeah, soothe your
I'm like,
soul.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, does anybody have any Werther's Originals around here?
I need
something to calm me down. I can't believe this is considered now classic rock. This is unbelievable. I think just in my mind, it has to be like 70s.
Sure.
Because I grew up in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah. We are like the dead penguin played by Danny DeVito being carried by penguins to his watery grave slowly by time. and watching all our music get old as we get, you know, as the procession moves forward.
Yeah. And you nailed my size, too.
Oh, yeah.
I get that big old butt. That big old fucking floppy ass like Danny DeVito had.
We're being wheeled by those penguins like we get wheeled to the back of a massage parlor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In a cot or cart or whatever the fuck you want to see. You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else we want to talk. We just talk about movies and music.
And as we do.
Fucking being old and crusty. But I do have to say this because you brought up that reference. Mm-hmm. Batman Returns is not a good movie.
Really? I haven't seen it in a long time. That's the one with Christopher Walken as well, right?
Yes, that's the one with the penguin. Yeah. And Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman.
That's right. Wow.
That was the second Tim Burton Batman film. And
the last Tim Burton Batman film.
Yes, correct, before he handed off the franchise. But the thing is people remember that movie so fondly. But if you rewatch it today, it's not so hot. And I can totally get behind Batmania because, man, I was in it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you fucking inject it into my veins. That fucking period of time in 1989 was fucking magic.
Yeah.
But overall, if you time separates things and you look back and go, man, that movie was fucking pretty bad.
Well, maybe I'll save myself an hour and a half and not watch it again. Not that I was planning on it, but I don't know.
You could watch it and come back at me and be like, fuck you, Dave.
You're right.
This is not Barbie Girl.
That's
true. This is cinematic gold. Yeah. I don't know.
Tim Burton.
A completely differing opinion.
Tim Burton's hit or miss, man. You never know. You know? He's got a few gold pieces, but he's got a lot of doozies, too. People like to give Tim Burton a lot of credit. People are like, because he did kind of like create a whole aesthetic, you know, or perfected it, maybe, or whatever. But he, like, you know a Tim Burton movie, usually, by looking at it. But yeah, he's got a lot of doozies or less great movies. For every Batman or Pee Wee's Big Adventure, there's Sleepy Hollow or Sleepy Hollow wasn't that bad, I guess. But there's a Barnabas Collins. What is that movie called? Dark Shadows.
Oh yeah, the remake of the television series.
Yeah. Or one of those. You know.
Willy Wonka wasn't very good.
Yes, either. That's perfect example. Perfect example. Yeah, he's had a few doozies, but...
Good morning, Starshine. The Earth says hello. You ain't Gene Wilder, motherfucker.
That's a
Get
fact.
Up out of here.
But who is? Who is Dave?
Nobody.
Who is
Nobody
Gene Wilder so. But Gene Wilder?
True. Very true. And I really think now, I think the best way to end this episode is on the note of Danny DeVito's flat, pancakey penguin ass being carted off into the icy depths, just like us, our fate.
Right.
So think about that, people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, if you've seen the film, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That fucking nana ass. That's what it is. It's a grandmother's moo-moo ass.
A flat ass. Assless ass. It's a lack thereof.
Ass. Assless ass. So we leave you with assless ass, and I am Dave. That over there is Nate, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, the devil looks so low down.